We continue to talk post-election on the Big Island. Joining us is our regular contributor, Sherry Bracken.
Well, there were some remarkable things about the Hawaii County election, Catherine. First of all, we had 127,000 voters register, and we had just over 85,000 voters vote. And that was around 20,000 more people than voted in the primary, and more than we've had in at least 20 or 30 years. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think that's just the most awesome thing. I mean, to know that our turnout is so much better than it was.
Yeah. You know, and I know that we did have a contentious presidential election, and that might have influenced it. But certainly in Honolulu County and in Hawaii County, we had really important issues and candidates. And I'm just hoping that people keep up their habit now of voting and doing it, particularly because we can vote by mail.
Yes, and so you've got the ease of that.
The thing about this year, it was the first year. Some people may not have fully understood that voting by mail was the thing. And obviously, way too many people voted on the last day in person, certainly in Honolulu County, but even here in Hawaii County. We actually, though, out of all the 85,168 voters, only had 4,600 voters vote in person. But a lot of them were on the last day. And we're going to talk about one reason, and that is we had 16 charter amendments. It took a long time for people as they voted to wade through the 16 charter amendments, particularly if they've not even looked at them before. So hopefully in the future they will know that they should look.
And what was your sense of how it went that last day when it was very crowded? Because I know they had issues in the Hilo side, but what was the experience there on the west side? And did people come to the polls? Did they do their homework?
Well, I think that's why it took so long. You know, Hilo didn't close until about 8:30. Should have closed at 7. Kona closed a little bit late, but the situation in Kona was probably similar to what it was in Hilo, which is I talked to some of the poll workers there, and then I talked to a few people leaving, and they took a really long time to vote. And it was not because of the candidates. We didn't have that many candidates to vote for. It was because of the 16 charter amendments, because, as you know, when you read a charter amendment, it's not always fully clear what it means, and people were thinking about it. So what I'd really like to see all the counties do is, if there are charter amendments in the future, send something out in advance, not just with what the amendment is, but maybe the pros and cons, because that's what helped me. I talked in advance. I did an Island Conversations interview with members of the League of Women Voters, and they went through the pros and cons for each of these based on what people had said when they testified, and that was super helpful because a few of them were not clear what they really would do, and we'll talk about those.
Let's break it down. What are some of the most controversial ones of those initiatives?
There were three that related to the county council itself, and they were pretty interesting. One just codifies that council meetings will be split between East Hawaii and West Hawaii. They already are, but this puts it into law. But the other two relating to the county council are especially interesting. One was to allow the county council to discipline its members by suspending them without pay if they're disorderly or they don't show up to three or more council meetings. 81% of the people voted yes on this, and this was clearly put on the ballot because a couple of years ago, the council member from Puna, Jen Ruggles, decided the county of Hawaii was an illegal entity, and the state was, so she just stopped going to council meetings. She did not stop, however, collecting her salary, and during that time, her district was not represented. She didn't show up to vote. She didn't submit legislation. So it's clear why that one passed, and the council can now discipline members. And the other one relating to the county council was to change the terms from the current 2 years to 4 years. And people voted no on that. And frankly, it's possible this might have passed if not for the Jen Ruggles situation. People saw how bad that was when she'd only been in office 18 months and they only had to address this for 6 months of not being represented. But I think that just made it super clear that 4 years was too long. So,
who would ever think that you'd come up with a situation like that where you'd be without representation?
Yeah. You know, nobody even considered it. You just, it's the ethical thing to do, to do your job. But it turned out there's no way to force somebody to do their job, and now there is. And then something else that was very much in the public eye, two proposals relating to the county's public access, open space, and natural resources preservation maintenance fund. currently 2.25% of our existing property taxes go automatically to the fund. And there's around $20 million in the fund now. And that will continue. 2.25% of our property taxes go to the fund. But the two charter amendments were to move management from the Department of Park and Rec, which didn't want the responsibility, to the finance department, which does want the responsibility. And that amendment also provided that you can use the fund money not just for land purchase, but for maintenance or building a storage shed for tools or maybe putting a LUA on the property if there's going to be people going there. So that passed. And then the other amendment relating to the open space fund was allowing for a staff person to be paid for out of the open space monies. So that person would be solely dedicated to looking for matching grant funds, to researching the appropriate properties. And a lot of people voted yes for that, I believe, because it was felt that it was kind of a neglected thing up till now. There wasn't really anybody on the council or finance or park and rec staff who was really doing that work. So I think people are probably pretty happy about that getting clarified.
What about just on the general council races?
We had two council races. One was in Pune, the incumbent Matt Kanaalii Kleinfelder running against challenger Ikaika Rodenhurst. And Ikaika was a very strong challenger, and Matt won, but only by a few hundred votes. You know, that just tells Matt he needs to do a little more outreach to the community. And the other council race that had a kind of surprising result was the empty seat for Hamakua, empty because Valerie Poindexter, who'd been there for 8 years, is term limited out. And the candidates were Dominic Yagong, who had held that seat for about 12 years, and Heather Kimball, who has run for office before. And she won handily. She brings a new perspective. She's kind of a progressive Democrat. She has good ideas about how to address things like our current lack of jobs. And I think that a lot of people just assumed Dominic because he had been there, and he also had been there when sugar shut down, which was another time of real economic upset, that he would win. So he did not. So we have a new council member there, and that will be very interesting. You know, there were a few more charter amendments that were interesting. Again, goes back to the wording, and one was, shall the charter amend fire department functions and fire chief qualifications? And on functions, yes, it formalized the fact that they currently handle all water safety. So that was a definite yes. But fire chief qualifications, they put in something that the fire chief from now on has to have the equivalent of a bachelor's degree. And it's not so clear that was a good idea, because there's no definition as to what equivalent means, and the fire chief would have to have that, whereas the police chief would not. So that, again, it goes back to the wording of the charter amendment does not always explain the true intent or what would be good or bad. And in the future, again, I know League of Women Voters has been pushing for this forever. It'd be great to have pros and cons get sent out to everybody in the community.
That was Big Island journalist Sherry Bracken talking about the county's general election results.